Don't want to feel ya, don't want you on my mind. Don't want to feel ya, don't want you on my mind. Don't want to feel ya, don't want you on my mind. On my mind, on my mind, 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 mind.
Hello, and welcome to episode 46 of Black Girl Squee, where we celebrate Black Girl Magic with a Squee! I'm your co-host, Dee Dee. I go by Death's Daughter on Twitter.
And I'm Enda. I go by Enda's Corner on Twitter.
And together you can reach us at Black Girl Squee on Twitter. We're Black Girl Squee just about everywhere. At Gmail, on Tumblr. You can search for us on iTunes at Black Girl Squee. And also Google Play Podcasts. And we should come up in most of your favorite podcatchers. You can also add our RSS feed if you want to put us in your favorite podcast listening app. Or you can go to the website blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm for all of our episodes. If you like what you hear, please contribute to our Patreons. Help us keep the content going. Enda has her own Patreon where she has audio essays on music fandom and original fiction and standing out on her favorite artists and a lot more. So we'll have a link to her Patreon in the show notes. Also, the Black Girl Squee Patreon has video essays, podcast reviews. Enda and I collaborated on recapping Claws Season 1. I did a brief podcast on the premiere of Star Trek Discovery. And then Enda joined me for a review of Ash, the new album by Ibeyi. So lots of great content for you to check out on the Black Girl Squee Patreon as well. And both of those links will be in the show notes for you. Please check us out and donate and help us keep these shows going. Really quickly, our spoiler policy is that we spoil shit. We're not sorry about it. So if we talk about a TV show or a movie or something like that, there's a very good chance that we might spoil it.
Yes.
So you have been warned. It's in the name, but we do squee. We're very loud about it. Some louder than others. Mm-hmm. I won't name names. Mm-hmm. Anyways,
like it's more than two of us here.
Whatever. We squee a lot. It's loud. We cuss a lot. We talk about dick. And we're unapologetic about it, so you will have to deal. So if you don't have any problems with any of that, let's get into the squee-worthy news.
Hey. All right, so me? Okay.
Yeah.
So today we're going to start off because pretty sure if you should have seen this by now, like seriously, but the Black Panther trailer was released a few days ago.
Monday morning.
Yes, Monday morning. And so, yeah, that was how we spent our Monday morning. Well, most of Monday every day and the rest of the week. But the trailer is gorgeous. You know, we get to see more of, help us say it, Okoye, who is played by Danai Gurira. Mm-hmm. And you also see Shuri. She's, you know, pushing the whip while T'Challa's on a mission. So, hey, Shuri's in charge. She's in charge.
Yes. She's building all the tech. We already saw her with the Panther gauntlets in the first teaser trailer. She's so cute.
And speaking of cute, like, you see that she and T'Challa, they have this really cute sibling moment. They actually have a special handshake, and I believe Black Twitter has now adopted that as now the official, you know, Black greeting from each other. So, yes.
That's what's up.
We see Ramonda, who is Queen Mother of Wakanda. And, of course, that is Angela Bassett, and she could not look any more flawless than she does. Well, she probably could, but I think she's trying to spare us, you know, the heart attack. And also, you see Nakia, who is Lupita Nyong'o, who is a counsel to T'Challa, and wow. So, I mean, the whole thing just looks spectacular, and I mean, this film is just, we I don't think anybody I know can actually just really wait until February. I mean, wow.
I can't. I mean, just the fact that we got to see so many Black women in both of these trailers. And they managed to shoehorn in a lot of Eric Killmonger, played by Michael B. Jordan, too. Like, some people were saying that he kind of stole the trailer, but I really don't care about any of that because I'm here for the women. And we got to see so many women, and they all had lines, even in the trailer. Yeah. Like, give me strength. Like, this is everything. We are seeing more Black women and more Black women with lines than we have seen in all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Except for Luke Cage.
Like, as far as the films go, hell, the only lines I can think of came from, like, Alfre Woodard and Florence Kasumba, and that was all in Captain America Civil War. And they only had, like, two scenes. Not even together. I mean, that's two scenes total, not each.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
basically one a piece. So yeah, and that could have been such a better movie, but anyway, but this is going to be everything, and people who, you know, get bored by the origin stories don't have to worry about it, because we got Black Panther's origin story in Civil War. So I'm so ready. I'm ready for the 4-hour director's cut. I'm ready for the DVD outtakes. I'm ready to just live my whole Black ass life up in Wakanda.
I'm ready for all that blackness.
Give it to me!
With all these, drawing from all of these, you know, African inspired traditions and stuff. I mean, damn, it just looks so good. You know Black women was doing all their costuming and all of the designing and stuff. You just know it. I mean,
They were. Ruth Carter was doing the costume design, and then Hannah Bleacher was doing a lot of the set design. And we're up in here. We're behind the scenes. We're in front of the screen. We're all up in this, and I'm so ready.
And I know, you know, like you said, it's not about Michael B. Jordan, but I have to just kind of laugh a bit at that gossip headline.
Oh my God! What
was the funniest?
They are smoking some good
shit. And they are totally out of all fucks. They're like, you know what? This works. We're going to run with it. We're going to run all the way to left field with it.
All the way left. All the way left. So all of the people that are suddenly Killmonger trash, like, I don't know what to say for y'all. I don't know what to say. I mean, hey. I don't get it, but you do you. Fandom is a weird, wild thing. But I don't see it. Not when T'Challa is in that tight ass suit.
No, I mean,
And,
I see it because it's like they said, somebody said he, I think it was like Keisha. Oh no, was it Steph? Was it Steph? One of them was like, he's come as your, the worst villain, your college ex-boyfriend.
Oh
And
man.
that's exactly what he looks like. He looks like a 90s.
And that's exactly why I'm not into it.
He totally looks like those 90s nerdy angst-ridden. But,
But it's so good to, this is something that's all
yes.
ours, and yeah, and it's I'm just
Yes.
having fun watching. It's amusing to see
Yes.
people go off and create all these different headcanons for like Killmonger and
Yeah.
T'Challa and all the other characters and just run wild with it, 'cause like this is our playground. This is not, yeah, you
Yeah.
can't, other people can't
Yep.
take this and
Yep.
run with it. 'Cause they don't get all the references, they don't know what's up, and
Yo,
it's just not gonna sound
they
right
actually
when
had
they
Gil,
take
they
it,
were
but
playing Gil Scott-Heron in the trailer. I think it was sampled in the song that was, because, but I think this song is Vic Mensa.
yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Vince Staples. I don't
Vince
really know him
Staples.
though. And I'm like, yo, they straight up had the revol. We heard the revolution will not be televised in a film trailer for a Marvel film.
Yep. It's
I know.
so
I'm like,
fucking
this, like,
black.
they said, okay, we're just gonna go all the way black at it, black ass black this, just all the way. Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of which, I gotta
Yes.
also gotta shout out our baby John Boyega. Gotta shout him out because somebody tried to play him and they just don't know who they're dealing with. Talking about, oh, are you gonna speak out because Black Panther's not diverse because it's all black? And he was like, it's because it's about time, B.
Like, would you expect anything less from
I
John
know.
Boyega? I
Me
love
too.
him. Love him, love him, love him. Yeah. Y'all keep trying to play him, and he keeps giving it back to y'all asses. Like, why do you keep trying? Anyway,
Yes.
tangent, but yeah, this movie black as fuck. I'm here for the
Yes.
women. It looks like they're gonna be showing
Oh,
out. I'm
yes.
ready.
I can't wait to see them in those fight
Come on,
scenes.
February. Just let me
Yes.
make it. Just let me
Let us
make
all
it.
make it. Just. Whew.
Lord, people already planning programs filled with, Negro spirituals and shit. Like,
Where the after party gonna
I'm sorry, but you have to include, if you're gonna have Lift Every Voice and Sing and all these other songs, if you're gonna have, Frankie Beverly Mays and all that good stuff, you gotta have Forest Bias too. So that's my only contribution. You gotta add that one. But yes, the Black Panther trailer gets four thumbs up. And basically because of the women. So to all of the women in front of the camera and behind the camera on Marvel's Black Panther, we give a big So Gabrielle Union, actress, star of Being Mary Jane, has just released a new book called We're Going to Need More Wine. It's a celebrity memoir, but she didn't want it to appear to be like other celebrity memoirs. She did not use a ghostwriter for this one. She wanted to make it feel she wanted this to be real writing. She said she wanted this to come from a real writer. So She writes with candor about being a black actress in Hollywood, and all the bullshit that comes with it. And she writes about her sexual assault when she was 19, and also her recent infertility issues that she's been dealing with for the past 3 years. Union said, quote, "There is a part of me that just needs to be connected to other people who've been through some shit," end quote. So some of the things that she's being very honest about might surprise people. But she says that she's able to be open and honest about it because, she went to therapy, and she also hired a life coach, and they helped her work through a lot of issues. And anything that she's still working through, she didn't write about with as much candor. So, she's been very vocal on Twitter about a bunch of different issues, and you know, I have to say I like her a lot better than I like her husband. Yeah. But
I don't really know anything about him.
That's some old NBA beef that we don't really need to bring
in. He has exceptional taste in women, apparently.
Basically. And you've heard about the break
baby.
Never mind. We'll talk all offline. Yeah. We'll talk offline. Anyway, please check out Gabrielle Union's new book, We're Going to Need More Wine. It's available at online bookstores near you, near your fingertips. And to Gabrielle Union, we give a big squee!
All right. Now on to another awesome Gabby. This one is Gabourey Sidibe, and she just had her short film, well, it's about to play at the Real Sisters of the Diaspora Film Festival. And this is her directorial debut, if I'm not mistaken. And it's based on Nina Simone's Four Women. Wow. See, you got me with it already. It is a 20-minute short film which follows one day in the lives of four women. It's part of Refinery 29's Shutterbox Anthology short film series. And from the article from Hollywood's Black Renaissance, Sidibe said she agreed to take the director's chair because she felt a responsibility to not only bring more women of color to the big screen, but also to craft an updated narrative that allows audiences to see the humanity of black women. So, way to go, Gab. I know, she's doing a damn thing.
Excited for her.
Yeah, me too.
Right. So to Gabourey Sidibe, we give a big onto another woman that we love, and I love a lot. she is my wife, one of my wives in my head, Nicole Beharie. Has been honored with the Real Sisters Trailblazer Award. That it is exemplary of the generations of black women magic that keep our communities and families whole. They are artistic geniuses who have paved paths for us to follow. And that's a statement from the founder of Real Sisters, Carolyn A. Butts. Other awardees include Tamara Tooney, Vinnie Burrows, it was just good to, because she's been lying low a little bit after leaving Sleepy Hollow, and hopefully this means that we'll see more of her in the near future.
Yes.
So to to my beloved Nicole Beharie. Congratulations on your award, and
yes,
yeah, y'all support my Patreon so I can finish writing this damn fantasy novel and send her on an adventure, because she's like the lead. She's I kind of picture her as my lead, my main character.
Well, I got 5 on it. I got 5 on it.
Yeah, you do.
Anything for my baby.
Okay. Next, speaking of television, Shonda Rhimes has been inducted into the Television Hall of Fame. And according to Essence, she will be the 3rd black woman along with Oprah Winfrey and Diane Carroll. Did not know that was Diane Carroll, but I shouldn't be surprised. And yeah, she very much deserves that. Anyway, if you may remember, Shonda Rhimes recently signed a multi-year development deal with Netflix to create original series. That must be where some of that $8 million is going. You know, that... Never mind.
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
The ceremony... Yeah, what?
But we need to talk about it. Like, I feel like people didn't talk about how big a deal this was for...
Yeah.
For someone to... who basically owns a whole night of television on a network to just move to a streaming service.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, people were trying to downplay it by saying, oh, you know, well, she's not at the height of her powers anymore because, you know, so many of her shows have gotten canceled, or, so many of her ideas have been nixed or something like that. Like The Catch didn't become as popular as they had hoped, and of course ABC basically set up still Star-Crossed to fail, and all of that stuff. But still, this is a big deal. She is.
Yes.
Whatever you have to say about her shows, that's a lot of intellectual property, a lot of content, a lot of ideas.
Yeah, it does. It kind of feels like
that.
It also kind of feels like leaving. She'd be. Feels like she would be freer to have more creative freedom, you know, at Netflix because Netflix. I mean, they fuck up sometimes and all, but it seems like they give people creative freedom. You know, because so, I mean,
and you would think they would have to for someone of Rhimes' stature.
Yeah,
so
because I mean, like, look, I mean, I'm really mad that they just kind of abandoned it. But look what they did with The Get Down. I mean, that was a $120 million investment and it looked great. You know, it was a really good looking show. You had, you know, all these Afro Latinos and it had some really great music and, you know, this kind of in a way, kind of this fantasy atmosphere that was just really reflected of Baz Luhrmann's style. And I mean, like, you have to give, you know, Shonda Rhimes, you know, free reign to, you know, do what she's going to do because she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, to see a black woman be able to control her own destiny like this. And say, you know, I'm going to hop ship and do my own thing. If ABC wants to cancel my shows and be like this, I will take my ball and go to Netflix. So this is a really big fucking deal, especially for a black woman who does regularly cast other black women.
Yes.
To lead her shows. So I'm ready for this new era of Shondaland on Netflix. And hopefully this will inspire other black women creators. So to Shonda Rhimes, we give a big... And our next story is from The Fader. It is rapper Baby Mother, who you may know for her song Rules.
Yes. Oh,
you
yeah.
Don't give your pussy to anyway. Well, now you're still getting pussy because that pussy won't be everybody's business. you don't break bread with these, give head to these, because that.
Yeah.
That's real talk,
it
though.
Is. It is.
This story, this profile was written by Lakin Starling, who also did the Kalayla cover story. So, and yeah, we got, yeah, there are, this interview is full of good quotes, because apparently when you get two black women to talking, you know, just good shit pops off. So, Baby Mother is a rapper from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Is that why you love her so much? Hey, she represents our home state, okay?
Okay. She's gone viral with her song and video for Rules. Her music discusses black sexual politics, like we've heard in Rules, and also celebrates womanhood. How she got her name, she says, quote, "When I was pregnant, the guy I was dating was cheating with another girl. She'd say things like, 'You're just his baby mama.' It's like, yeah, you might be right. Maybe I won't ever be shit to him, but his baby mama. But that doesn't limit me on what the fuck I can do. I've learned to take my negatives and turn them into positives. So I'm just a baby mama? Cool." End quote. Inda mentioned this on her show, The Black Swan Collective. Go listen to that shit. That Baby Mother is the mother of four children. Two sets of twins.
Oh my God.
I heard that. I almost stopped the car. I almost stopped the car. That's a lot. She says, quote, "It's crazy and it's hectic, but I can get why people say that it's a blessing. It's a lot at all times, and it's never a chill moment. They all have strong personalities, and I don't like a lot of chaos, and they are very chaotic.
Oh.
It's two Scorpios and two Leos, and it's just a lot for my Virgo ass." End quote.
Oh, man. Okay.
Whatever. Okay. Scorpios are chill. Anyway. I'm not gonna allow Scorpio slander on
did
my
I say anything?
Show.
Did
not
I say
mine.
Anything?
Not mine. No. I heard some slander in that. I heard you suck at DP. Mm-hmm. See? Anyway. When she was asked about haters, Baby Mother said, quote, "A lot of it is colorism. I'm not the darkest, but I'm not high yellow. I don't have late-ass baby hairs. People were saying I should have sold my verse to Nicki Minaj. People were saying they like the message, but wish I didn't look like that. Bitch, this is what I look like. I'm supposed to be cute to talk about something I care about? I'm supposed to be light-skinned with a fat ass, long weave,
Thank
and fat titties?
You.
Well, every
Bless
bitch in the world
you.
Don't look like that." End quote.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Lakin Starling,
man.
She's really definitely about
this
to be
interview
interviewed.
Is everything.
She knocked it out of the park two times in a row with that. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's why we need more black women writers in these magazines, reviewing this pop culture, interviewing other Black artists who are influencing culture, because then we get all this goodness.
All right, now.
So, with that said, check out Baby Mother's latest EP. It's called Glow Kit Black Girl. I don't know what that means, but I love it. It sounds great. To Baby Mother and incidentally to Lake and Starling, we give a big squeeze.
Yeah.
Your pussy do what?
Anyway. Yeah.
Everybody's business. You don't break. Anyway. That song. You want to be put up on a game? Baby Mother will put you up on some game right there. I guess we got to get into this shit. Catch the Fade. So we've been able to avoid talking about this case about Harvey Weinstein for the longest, because all of the victims that have spoken out have been white. And then Thursday night, Lupita Nyong'o posts an op-ed in the New York Times and accusing Weinstein of harassing her on numerous occasions, starting from when she was still a student at Yale School of Drama. And even after she won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, he was still pressuring her to be in a movie he was producing, even though she did not want to be involved with him in any shape, form, or fashion. So, yeah. All of a sudden, so after almost 50 white women have accused him of assault, some of rape, some of harassment. Lupita is the first Black woman to speak out against him. And Lupita is the first woman that Weinstein has responded to.
Of course not.
Out of all of these actresses. Wonder why. He denies harassing her and says that is not how he remembers events. Fuck you. You're not a reliable witness. And who the fuck cares what you have to say? If 50 some odd women are making accusations, and I'm sure there's more to come, because he's been given free rein to do this for most of his career. It's even in his contract that he's allowed to harass people as long as he paid out the claims.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was in his contract. So he was enabled by the company that he co-founded. He was enabled by his brother, who's also been accused of harassment. He's been enabled by this entire fucking industry that has somehow built harassment and assault into the way of their doing business.
Nope.
So, Harvey can catch the fade, but this is not just about him. The entertainment industry is rife with harassment and sexism and racism. Not just movies, music. We saw that with Rick Ross saying that he couldn't have a woman on his rap label because, all that work and money that he would invest, he would want to be paid off with sex.
Yeah, that's putting it nicely. That's put that in much nicer words than he did.
So just all branches of entertainment, but every industry has it,
Yes.
not just the entertainment industry. I'm sure that many women going to a 9-to-5 have been harassed by men who wanted to exert power over them. And I shouldn't say men, I shouldn't gender
Sure.
harassment because this kind of abuse is genderless. It happens across genders. Abusers aren't just men. Abusers are sometimes women. And victims are sometimes young boys or men. We saw with Terry
Yes.
Crews that men sometimes enact this violence on each other. So it's just everybody's doing it, I guess. So to all of those perpetrators, and everybody who is enacting more violence upon victims for speaking out after the fact, y'all can catch fade too.
Exactly. Yes, exactly what I was going to say. You just said, it's not, harassment can be any gender and all, but especially, but I don't think it's, wrong to say it's overwhelmingly committed by, grown ass men. And so all the grown ass men who knew, didn't say anything like, oh, I knew, I wish I'd done something. You didn't. Okay? If you wasn't Brad Pitt getting in that dude's face, like, nah, you ain't doing this. I don't give a fuck about how you feel now. I really don't. It's like you said, Terry Crews told, and like Elijah Wood and Corey Feldman, they told this stuff a long time ago, and y'all didn't believe them. Okay? And it's like, it was like, I always kind of wondered what happened to Sean Young because she just, her career just kind of faded. But I was wondering why everybody tells that wild Catwoman story in relation to her. It makes sense now. Like, y'all knew this stuff, and you have y'all favorite animator whose name I won't say making jokes about it, in public and all of that, but hey, that's all it was to y'all, and you didn't take it seriously, probably because it wasn't happening to you. And
Yeah, that's all it
so
is.
now that, it's all kind of like, I don't care how sorry you are that, you didn't do anything then, you didn't say anything then, you are not helping. You're still not.
Yeah. And any time that we give to your statement, is just time that we're not spending supporting victims and getting the rest of these people perpetrating this violence, the fuck up out of here. They fired Weinstein from the company, but the company has his name in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they ousted him from the academy, but how many rapists and sexual harassers are still a
I
part of
can
the
think about
academy.
three off the top of my head.
And that's off the top of your head. I mean, there's a lot of people that have done some fucked up shit to women, to
To
people of
children.
color, to young boy, to children, Yeah, Bryan Singer.
Yep.
Talking about you. Yeah, Roman Polanski, we're looking at
Woody
you.
Allen, for sure. I'm
Yeah,
looking at
Woody
you.
Allen, we're looking
And yo,
at
I don't want
you.
this to be a witch hunt.
Because
Motherfucker, you.
y'all all have perpetrated some violence against
Yes.
children. And they're still working. But everybody wants to focus on Weinstein now, because of all these accusations. And instead of acknowledging that this is an industry-wide and even like worldwide phenomenon. What did you want to say about some of these other women's?
Okay, so y'all know, like, I swear every other day or every other catch of fate has to be directed at white feminists. Because y'all just stay fucking up. And it's like, you know what? I am so glad everybody, banded around Rose McGowan. People finally believed what she said and, got the whole thing, got the ball rolling on the whole thing. Because I'm pretty sure, as far as Weinstein is concerned, she has to be given credit for, leading the charge, and finally getting, all of this out and into the glaring light. But I swear, whiteness will always show its ugly ass head every time with these white women, because I swear, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with them. And so Rose McGowan, I don't know what possessed her, but somehow she decided that, okay, being a woman, or in this case, let's just face it, being a white woman, because that's the only woman she sees, is the equivalent of being an N-word. Rose, 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 black women exist, okay? And because we end up having to correct you on bullshit like this, we get exhausted because we also have to deal with, sexist shit that y'all also want us to deal with because that affects us too. But then you turn around and you do shit like this. Girl. Ugh. See, I'm tired just thinking about it. And of course, she's not the only one. Our dear, dear friend Blossom, who we grew up with, Mayim Bialik. I think she up. No. Nah, she ain't my friend.
Your friend,
But
your friend.
she I think she apologized. I'm not sure. I didn't read it, but I did read some of her New York Times op-ed from last week. And she can deny it all she wants, but this was just pure ass victim blaming. And she's saying that because she's never been conventionally attractive, because she dressed modestly, that she's never, had to worry about it. And so being considered unattractive apparently is some type of protection. Blossom, no, it's
It's
not.
not, because it's not
It is not.
you're that you, saying that is assuming that harassment is about sex,
Thank you.
and it's not.
It's
It's
assumed it's
about
about
power.
attraction. It is not. Matter of fact, it's like, listen, this is what why I say this is somebody I really, really wish I remember who pointed this out. They said that Daniel Kahuscloud had a much better understanding of intersectionality than many of these white feminists do, because he knew exactly who he could get away with victimizing, because he knew people were going to look at these older, black women who were poorer, who some had drug habits, some had criminal records, and he knew they were going to look at him and look at them like, oh, there's no way, because he, why would he, He knew exactly who he could pick on. That's what it's about. You know exactly who you have power over, and you know how that shit works. So it is not about attraction at all. That's why, you see these women saying like, look, Weinstein's problem, it isn't, it's not a sex addiction. It's abuse. So he, why he's in sex rehab, that's, hell, he's in the wrong place, you know? He ain't got, it has absolutely nothing to do with sex. And it's really an insult to people who, do have issues with, like, sex addiction and stuff like that, because that's a real thing, you know? That's something that, you know, they got to work through, but, they're not abusers, you know? So I'm like, girl. But somebody actually also pointed out today, I saw, you know, briefly, about Mayim Bialik, that she's actually Orthodox Jewish, you know, and that actually has one of the reasons why, you know, because her faith kind of dictates that she dressed modestly and stuff like that. But the thing is, she doesn't mention that, you know, in the op-ed. And in a way, I'm kind of glad she didn't, because it's like, when you do that, it kind of feels like you're using your religion as a cudgel. And, you know, she didn't need to do that. But, you know, the thing is, this is absolutely, you know, those views, I don't think, you know, it has to have any bearing on, you know, her religious beliefs. I mean, she could, you know, be an atheist or whatever like that, and that was still, she's still saying, you know, it still just does not, it doesn't minimize the impact of what she said, you know. This is still, you know, you saying, okay, well, if you look a certain way, you dress a certain way, then you don't have to worry about this. I can tell you from experience, that is a goddamn lie. Okay? When you are kind of considered, you know, like, nobody would, you know, want you anywhere or whatever, something like that, that actually emboldens some people, I believe. And so, yeah, so that whole line of reasoning, like being unattractive will somehow, you know, protect you, that's all fucked up. So that's what I have to say about her. Now, another one that we have to mention, well, you may have heard about David Cross and Charlene Yee. If you don't know Charlene Yee, she's a Asian American actress. Okay, and so another instance of white feminism gone wrong and wild. You may have heard about an incident between Charlene Yee and David Cross. Well, a few years ago, when Charlene was just becoming an actress, you know, a baby actress, she met David Cross, and he made a racist remark toward her, and also she felt ashamed because, you know, her clothes were tattered, and she felt ashamed, you know, because she said she was poor, you know, at the time. And well, she brought this up, and I think she did speak to a paper about it or something, and he did this really awful gaslighting of her, like, oh, I don't really remember, you know, this happening, you know, maybe you're misremembering it. And then, you know, when it started gaining traction, this one, he started saying, like, oh, I was probably playing my Southern redneck character when we met, as if, you know, that made it any better. And so, what I didn't know, that he's married to Amber Tamblyn, who's been, you know, outspoken about the whole Harvey Weinstein thing. And apparently, you know, I don't know if she's out and out defending, you know, David, or if she's just kind of trying to say, you know, don't talk to me, you know, about my husband. And, you know, when I'm like, but your husband did this, and you want to, you know, y'all are making this whole Weinstein thing about, you know, standing up for women, but, you know, you're going to stand up for this woman? You know, I mean, see, this is why, you know, why I just cannot fully align myself with white feminists. I mean, even though I was glad to see, you know, everybody, you know, solidifying and supporting Rose McGowan on this whole thing, I swear I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And this is kind of how, you know, with all of these, you know, white women coming forward, I just wait for the other shoe to drop, because they will always show their true colors every time, and that true color is always white. And so, I mean, I'm gonna need y'all to stop fucking up. And when women of color tell you that something was racist or something, you know, that may not affect you the same way affect me, but, you know, it doesn't make it any worse or it doesn't make it irrelevant. I need y'all to listen. So, until then, catch the fate. All of them.
Yeah, they did boycott Twitter one day last week because Rose McGowan's Twitter account was suspended. So they decided to go silent to protest being silenced. But we had a good ass time. That was a good ass Friday, thanks to Amber Rain.
Oh, yes, we did.
And her hashtag WOC affirmation. A lot of people went ham on the affirmations and had a good ass time. And if y'all ever want to boycott again, feel free. That was a good day. That was a good day. And when y'all came back, y'all came back with a white feminist vengeance and started putting your foot in your mouth in just rapid succession. Like, right when they came back, Rose put her foot in her mouth again. Ellen was talking about gay people and trans people being harmed, and Rose said, you know, use your platform to talk about women. Like, there aren't gay and trans women.
Thank you. Yes. And Ellen
and a woman.
Gay.
Like, what? What?
Yes. Like, that girl. Girl. Like, do you even hear yourself or, you know, read what you type and think?
Like, see, maybe this is why white feminism is not going to get anybody free. Because they all have their heads up their asses. They're straight, white, cis asses. And if it ain't about them, then they don't give a fuck. And nobody's getting free with that kind of politics. So, y'all can catch the fade. Shut up and listen. Okay. Next time y'all go silent, actually listen to other people. So,
yes,
Lord, we could be here all day, but we gotta wrap this show up. let's talk about something far more pleasant than white feminism. The dick. So, I don't know if we've profiled this particular actor individually.
We should have.
It might have been on a list, like on a top five or something like that.
He should have.
Anyway, I'm just gonna make sure, just in case.
Yes.
This actor first came to my awareness in Dirty Pretty Things.
Oh, yes.
And in, I think, Kinky Boots.
Yes.
Most recently, he was nominated for an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave, and he was in that Doctor Strange movie, but, you know, we understand you need to get checks.
I know.
Nah, I'm
it's
not.
It's like, even
I'm
though
not.
He's in it, I still can't bring myself to watch it.
I can't,
I
you know,
can't.
I can't watch everything on everybody's filmography. I can't. Yeah. But that don't mean I don't love you.
Yeah.
The actor we're talking about is, of course, Chiwetel Ejiofor. From Forest Gate, London. He was born in London to Nigerian parents. He lost his father in a car crash when he was 11. He still bears he was in the car as well, and he still bears scars from that accident. So when people make jokes about his hairline, keep them. His hairline may not be the greatest, but it's because he has scars from an accident. So, his sister, Zain Asher, is a CNN correspondent in Britain. He's going to make his directorial debut in an adaptation of a story called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. This is based on the story of William Kamkwamba, who is a boy who creates a windmill from old bicycle parts to save his village from famine.
I remember this kid.
He co-wrote a children's book about it. So, great, big, exciting things happening for Chiwetel. And also, he fine.
Yeah, and also, don't call him Chiwi.
No, please don't. Please. His name?
Say his entire ass
say
name.
Say his motherfucking name.
Yes.
It ain't that hard. It's
nope.
Hooked on phonics. It can work for you.
Exactly.
So, his name is Chiwetel. He fine. He British. He talented. He, he could get it. Anyway, I'm excited to see this movie. Aw, it's a beautiful story.
Yep.
And my next nominee for DWIDP. Actually used Chiwetel Ejiofor's name in a rhyme.
Wow, wait, he rhymed Chiwetel Ejiofor?
Yes. it was in this rhyme on Rhapsody's new record.
I forgot to listen to it.
He said, I've been on my Chiwetel Ejiofor. That's 12 years a slave, even though I'm on year 23 or 4. So that's how you rhymed it, if you're curious. I am talking about Tariq Trotter, aka Black Thought from the Roots. My favorite rapper, personally. Tariq was born 44 years ago in South Philly, Pennsylvania. He co-founded The Roots, one of the greatest hip-hop bands with Amir Thompson, whom y'all probably know better as Questlove.
Yep.
And he is probably your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. Just think about the big name rappers who haven't done a rap with him. And it's probably because they're afraid that he'll kill him. He'll kill them on a track because he's done it before and he's done it a lot. And yeah, if you wonder if you, yeah, he's known to be underrated. But if you don't think that he's one of the greatest to ever do it, please check out 75 Bars from the Rising Down album. It's just him and a beat just going nonstop for like 3 or 4 minutes. And he probably uses the N-word like 3,000 times in that one song. But it's virtuoso rhyming. He also dabbles in acting. He's appeared in movies like Bamboozled with The Roots. He had a leading role in the movie Brooklyn Babylon. He appeared in Brown Sugar as himself, and had a bit part in Get On Up, the James Brown biopic. And he's currently got a part in The Deuce, which is an HBO series made by the people who made The Wire. Mr. Trotter is also a philanthropist. He co-founded the Grassroots Community Foundation in 2016 with Janice Diaz, who is the mother of Marley Diaz, the little girl who started the 1000 Black Girl Books movement. And Grassroots is a social justice group that promotes the wellness of Black girls. So, all of this, and also he's fine. And he's got the sexiest voice in hip hop. I swear to God, just it's raspy and deep and.
I just also have to say, even though I don't think he's like really, really outspoken and like trying to promote himself as it, he has shown lots of support for women, you know, in rap and in music in general. I mean, years ago, he laid a verse down with Les Nubians. They did a cover of Sade's Sweetest Taboo called Taboo. And, you know, they sing it in French. He rhymes in English, and it's actually really good. Their breakthrough song, You Got Me, that's almost a duet with Eve. You know, he's worked with.
And it was co-written by Jill Scott.
Supported all through her career, Jilly from Philly. You know, that's who I always remember him saying, Jilly from Philly. And I mean, I think also their other Philadelphia Jazzy Fat Nasties. He's worked with them all, and he supported them all, whether he's lending his voice to, you know, his writing or his vocals or his production and things like that. He's been out here supporting us, or, you know, rather Black women who do music, because I don't do music, but, you know, he's been out there.
Yeah, they've also done work with Bahamadia.
Yes. Another Philly legend.
Another Philly rapper.
Yeah.
And of course he laid his most recent verse was on Rhapsody's new album. Which is what I was just quoting earlier. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he does put his money where his mouth is and everything. Or his mouth where his anyway. He's supportive of what anyway.
Yeah, I know where you want to put his mouth next. Okay.
I was just about to say with that mouth did Tariq. Anyway,
no.
Because we ain't shit. And this is our time to not be shit. So, anyways, he fine. He got a really sexy voice.
Yes.
He's a great rapper. He's my favorite. He's in.
Yes.
DWIDP. So, yeah, we have a couple of 40-somethings, and I guess, you know, I picked them. I got to pick people in my age range.
Oh, the next time I pick somebody, he's older, but I'm saving him for next time.
Have we well, I guess we need to talk about this later. I feel like maybe we probably have. So before I get any more ratchet about Mr. Trotter or Mr. Ejiofor, which is want to happen, let's get into this woman's vocab.
All right. Woman's vocab may have done this one already. I don't remember, but in light of these past couple of weeks, it's we need to go over this again. Today's woman's vocab word is gaslighting. Gaslighting refers to manipulation by claiming that another's experiences or perception of reality is untrue or unreal. This dismissal often occurs in emotionally abusive relationships as well as in a wider sociological context against marginalized and oppressed peoples. The goal is to make the victim doubt or distrust their own experience, memories, and perceptions. The term comes from the 1938 play Gaslight, which was later adapted to two films, and it's depicting this type of emotional abuse, but I'm unsure of the source who made the term gaslight a verb. Gaslighting.
And as you mentioned, David Cross tried to gaslight Charlene Yee. And Harvey Weinstein tried to gaslight Lupita Nyong'o by saying he recalls events differently.
Exactly.
Because heaven forbid, after all of these 50-some-odd allegations, you'd be accused of harassing a black woman. That is just beyond. Anyway, Black Girl Commandments, believe black women. And this is going beyond listening. You have to listen. And then believe. Cuz most of us out here speaking up and speaking out, we're not doing it just to hear ourselves talk. We have something to say. We have something to get off our chests, and we need to be believed. We don't need to be gaslit. So, that's the end of our show, folks. Again, you can contact us at Black Girl Squee all over your internets, individually. Inda is at Inda's Corner. I'm at Dust Daughter. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe to us on Google Play Podcasts or on your favorite podcatcher. Please support our Patreons, Inda's and mine. And we'll have links to those in the show notes. And until next time, bye.
Nobody know I'm scared of personal shit.
Yeah.
Cause everybody judge, you love to change the intent. Internet got no chill. Nobody know how I feel to be an artist. Look, nigga, this some marvelous
shit.
Politics, organ real versus radio hits.
Yeah.
It's all hip hop, can't divide what ain't different. Don't like all underground, I don't hate all music that isn't. I was just making a clap to Waka Flocka last Christmas, clap for a nigga with a rapping ass. Nobody know if tomorrow promise, live like it's your last. Tell that crush you got, you love them, they might love you back. Nobody know if we don't speak up, we don't know the math.
We don't know the math, brother.
Google the name. If nobody know, nobody can feel these shoes that I'm aim. Watch niggas that joke around and say they just playing. Beating me, your eyes look better. Betting Lieutenant Dan can walk water barefooted, running with fours, chasing a van. If nobody know that, it's gonna show you that I ain't playing, nigga.
Yeah, I thought I had the answer, but I could not solve it. Even if you were the answer, I could not call it. If nobody matters, why do I bother? But I thought I had the answer, but who knows anyway.
Lost soldier with the bars on the shoulder of my uniform. That makes them ask what I do and who I do it for. Musically, I've been on my Chiwetelejee before. That's 12 years a slave, but I'm on year 23 or 4. Been a lyrical grand wizard like Theodore. I'm on the same wavelength my sister Rhapsody is on. I love her when she get on her Bahama Diajon. If she wasn't true, she never would have gotten me involved. Between the world and me like Ta-Nehisi Coates. Nobody know the artist, Mr. Ta-Nehisi quotes. Laughing at boys, they grasping at straws to sniff the dope. Pimp been engaged for ages, we should probably elope. Nobody knows how I shoot for the stars or aim at the moon. Or how I put a band-aid upon a bullet wound. Or how no matter who you are, I'm just as good as you, if not better. Shit, I ain't even sure my mother knew. It hurts, yeah, 2014 was the worst year. I lost the only person aware of my worst fear. That's when I shifted up in the fifth from first gear. And then I headed back to work and had church there. Oh my God.